Super duper! That's nice!
That's awesome!
Way to go! Neato, gang!
I just want to give you a big hug.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
This is Bugs and Hugs.
For Alibi Vodka.
Welcome back. Friday morning, Bugs and Hugs. And maybe a little bit of a different slant on Bugs and Hugs today, because we ended up carrying live a news conference Prime Minister Mark Carney held this morning just after 10 o'clock, really addressing tariff-related news. He had announced this morning that as of the beginning of September, Canada will match U.S. efforts to recognize any products covered under the existing CUSMA agreement will be tariff-free. This is exactly the way the United States has done it as well. And so this will have an implication on a number of products, whether it's price or availability. Last week we were talking about Bix Pickles. I'm guessing they'll restock the Bix Pickles shelves in the stores as a result of this. And maybe we'll see some price differences as well. So essentially what we heard from the Prime Minister in the news conference was that while we have a new relationship with the United States, and while our relationship, trade relationship with the United States, is not as good as it once was, Prime Minister Carney's telling Canadians that it's still better than any other country in the world. And a lot of it has to do with that CUSMA agreement. Now, during the question and answer, he was asked the question by the Canadian press reporter, what do you say to critics who are going to say, well, now you're putting your elbows down? He gave a hockey analogy, saying sometimes you've got to go elbows up in the corner, sometimes you've got to drop the gloves and fight, and other times you focus on stick handling the puck and scoring a goal. He referenced the fact it was late in the game, and that's what they're focused on right now. Some people on the text line, hey, as soon as you do a hockey analogy in this country, you're going to have people that are going to give you a counter to that. There's a number of people on the text line saying, yeah, maybe he should have shown up in the first period instead of putting the entire team on the bench, Brian in Saskatoon, for example. By the way, I broke in there when they were doing the French translation. Oh my gosh, that translator was brutal. And I said it thinking, you know, gosh, should I even say this on the air? I'm glad I did, because so many of you are like, thank you. I agree. It sounded robotic. It sounded like AI. It was terrible. It was quiet. It was hard to hear. It was kind of, you know, almost jolting. It stopped and started. It was a terrible translation. Terrible. So even though we broke away from the news conference, our newsroom continuing to follow it, because I know I saw a couple of people on the text line saying, I'm not going to hold my breath to see if he talks about canola and the canola tariff from China. We'll see if the question is asked with regard to that. Our newsroom continues to follow this along, and we'll bring you any updates on that. So we've broken away from the news conference for now, but our news team continuing to stay on it, and we'll bring you updates. 1-877-332-8255. Bugs and Hugs continues, and okay, let's go to the phone lines. I got James on the phone. We just listened to Prime Minister Mark Carney. What's on your mind today, James?
Well, Evan, I think what this is that it's the culmination of what many of us said at the beginning of this, and that is it's a folly construct. And a lot of this view was born out of that of Eastern Ontario that wanted to get into a fight with the United States because their auto industry was at risk and at peril, to be sure. But the reality is just the size of that economy and what a dominance it plays in the world. It was folly for anybody to think that we could meaningfully fight against that, right? And so the best strategy, it's almost like, you know, Evan, sometimes what it's like to talk to people who have never been in a fight. they glorify it, right? They make it sound like it's a great thing.
Right.
Anybody who has actually been in a fight, you try and avoid it because that fist to the face kind of hurts sometimes, right?
Right.
So that's the reality that I see. And so what I would have preferred is let's work in unison with our largest trading partner. Let us continue to go down the path that Donald Trump was trying to go towards. We then, it's the old adage, right? It's easier to attract flies with honey than it is with the alternative, right? And so I think that's the focus. People need to lower the swords in any realization. Like if they finally came, if Carney finally came to this realization, then so be it. This is where we are. The reality is we were going to quickly have our bottom ends handed to us. And the reality is we need to work in unison with somebody who is usually and more than likely going to be our friend. And so that's the reality of it, right?
Yep.
And now we can work on other trade issues that I'm sure become a solvable issue as well. And well, so
canola, for example. Canola, James.
Yeah. I think what Scott's doing is perfectly right. And I think Mark should go with him. It is a challenging situation, to be sure. But let's not kid ourselves. The Chinese have used issues like this every time that they try and set the ground for their purchases in October and November, right? Mm-hmm. Like, this is the first year that the Chinese government has released a press release before their people go into the Chicago Board of Trade to buy canola, right? And they drive down the market to only buy, you know, record tonnage from the year before. So they are a large consumer of our product. Their capacity for them to switch completely over to Australia, I wouldn't say that it's like we don't compete in a vacuum in Canada. And one of our biggest competitors at this moment is Australia, because they have had such a large
And I mean, it's been, I think, well publicized that we export about $4 billion worth of canola to China. So they are a big partner. And a big portion of that $4 billion comes from this province. Premier Mo always quick to point that out. James, thanks for calling in. Okay, Bugs and Hugs doesn't just have to be about Mark Carney. It can be. It doesn't have to be just about politics. It can be anything. It could be something like what bugs you when you're driving to Regina for a football game. Donna. Emma Lake, Saskatchewan. How are you?
Well, I've been waiting all week to talk.
What happened to you?
Well, we're driving, and it's somewhere between Davidson and I don't know what town, but Chamberlain.
Yeah.
And we come over this hill blindly, and all of a sudden, all these semis are putting on their brakes, and everybody's going all over the place. Somebody was moving the biggest piece of iron, like a header.
Yeah.
I don't know how many feet it was or how tall. It was the hugest thing I've ever seen in my life. They're going across four lanes of highway. No police helping them to do a stop or anything. There was one girl in a truck that sort of waved to people as she was pulling away. That could have been like a serious wreck. I mean, probably 40, 50 cars. I'm serious.
So were you able to pass it or no? Was it totally blocking the whole lane?
No, it was totally blocking the road.
Oh, yeah.
And everybody's just screeching their brakes.
Yeah.
Like, we're lucky. We're really lucky that nobody crushed into it, because that would have been a horrible thing. My second bug is still related to traffic. Why do people have to drive on the left side of the road all the way down to Regina? If somebody's passing you on the right, you're in the wrong lane. Move over.
I feel like I could have you on weekly, Donna, with your traffic rants. Maybe we should look into that. But hey, good on you for making the trek down to Regina to watch the Rider game from Emma Lake. Good on you.
It was fabulous.
Are the Riders winning tomorrow? That's the big question. Are they going to win tomorrow?
Hell yeah. We got some mucking up to do there.
I like it. Early prognostication from Donna. Thanks. Happy Friday. 1-877-332-8255. Let's go to Randy in Saskatoon. How are you this Friday, Randy?
Good morning, Evan. Thank you for this.
What have you got? You got a hug for me today. What's your story?
Yeah, it's a thank you. It's a huge thank you. I'm going to try and keep this together and be as brief as possible. My son, Riley... And I'm going to try and keep names out of this as much as possible. Ran his supercharged Ultra Dragster at Saskatoon on Saturday at the feature day.
At the SIR track there?
Yeah, SIR.
Okay.
And, he hit the wall and rolled the car at 160 plus miles per hour.
Is he okay, Randy?
Yeah, he's very okay.
Wow.
He got himself out of the car, okay? And the thank you is, I don't know, I guess a hug, what you guys call it, is the safety crew, the ambulance paramedics were there immediately, along with the whole pit crew, which was crew chief was his brother, his wife, myself, two other fellows. We were there. They handled it 100% professionally and very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
When it was over, we got the car back to our pit, and the drag racing community stepped up.
That's
so impressive. Many people, like, we can't mention names, but, you know, because there's just too many.
Yeah.
So many people were there immediately, offered wonderful support, wonderful words, and help, just help, constant, like, just the whole time. And since that time till last night, the support for my son, Riley, his wife, Nikki, for his mom, for myself, his brother, for the whole family has been absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
As of last night, that car is in his shop. It's pulled down, and he is determined to rebuild and race next year.
Well, what a story, Randy. I'm glad, first and foremost, that your son is doing fine. That, I mean, I can't imagine rolling at that speed, but glad and not surprised to hear that. What a great crew out at that SIR track just outside of Saskatoon, and knowing that emergency responders and the community in general rallied around the immediate response to the action, and then the follow-up continued care, outstanding. That is a beautiful hug, and I appreciate you calling in to share it today. Okay, let's take a break. We'll come back to wrap up with Bugs and Hugs when we are back here on 980 CJME and 650. CKOM.
You're the best friends anybody ever had.
Well, the jerk store called. They're running out of you.
Bring it in, bring it in.
I will only be checking somewhat satisfied on our comment card.
You know what really grinds my gears? Hug me!
For Alibi Vodka.
This is Bugs and Hugs.
Welcome back to Bugs and Hugs. You know, I skimming through the text line, a number of people expressing a bug on one side or the other of this Sean Voigt concert that happened last night in Saskatoon. Some people very bothered that the city of Saskatoon allowed the concert to continue. Others bothered that people were protesting outside of the concert. We had one of our reporters, CKOM's Maria Robinson, was at the concert last night. I wanted to connect with Maria very quickly here. Thank you so much, Maria, for joining the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Evan.
So you went to the concert last night. Can you give us a sense of the numbers, the mood? Paint the picture of what you saw last night.
Yeah, so I did ask Saskatoon police while I was there. I was like, how many people do you think are here? And they said there's about 1,000 concert goers, and there were a couple dozen protesters. And I would say I was kind of surprised. People were generally in a good mood, for sure, amongst the concert goers. They were excited to see Sean. Some of them hadn't ever heard of his music before until he started making headlines a couple weeks ago, and that's why they came out. And then, you know, there were people coming from as far as north of Prince Albert for this concert. And then in terms of protesters, like, they had signs, they had chants, they seemed decently organized. They brought speakers, and we talked with Sean Voigt after the concert, and he had said it was the loudest group of protesters he's heard in Canada thus far, and he was a little bit surprised. But it was in Saskatchewan, so they got their message across for sure. They were heard, and they had instruments that they were playing. They were holding up pride flags. Like, they really were a colorful group outside the area's fencing.
Well, there was no need for police to step in, though. Everything remained peaceful?
There was only one time that I saw where police stepped in, and it was just at the beginning when people were lining up to get into the concert. While they were still outside the fencing, some of the protesters were getting pretty close, and you know, they were shouting, they were chanting, and there was a moment where one officer stepped in and said, you just have to take a little bit of space, because I think they were a bit worried. But generally, police weren't really needed. They were just there kind of at the start and the end, for sure, by the entrances to make sure that things were smooth.
So I'm curious, and I don't know if you caught any of the interaction that Sean Foyt had with the audience last night, but he's criticized by the people that were protesting and people that are against him performing in Saskatchewan for his views on a number of issues, gender and sexual diversity, abortion rights. There's a number of things. Did he preach any of that last night, or is that not something that was really covered or came out in the concert?
That didn't seem to be, at least from when I was hearing him, that didn't seem to be part of his message last night. He was more just focused on, I guess, the worship aspect. There was one moment where he did say he was like the highest COVID offender in, you know, 30 plus states in the U.S. So that was, I guess, a moment where he was somewhat controversial. But beyond that, he didn't talk about rights about the LGBTQ+ community or abortion rights, from what I heard.
Listen, Maria, we appreciate you joining the show. Thanks for sharing what you saw last night as you covered that event in Saskatoon.
Thanks so much, Evan.
CKOM reporter Maria Robinson. Okay, phone line still not completely back up and active, so we are about an hour away from green and white prognostication. Some parts of the province are able to get through on the phone line, so we've had a couple of texters suggest, well, maybe I'll have a better chance of getting through this week if I don't have the competition that I normally do. SaskTel continuing to work on the issue with some of the cell phone service in parts of the province. Belton Johnson, it's Eaton Time next here on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME.